So today we're going to be talking about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros for Shabbos and for Yom Tov. So I'm just going to dive right in. I'm going to try to go through as much as I can. If there's anything, you let me know. So just to start, there's a rabbinic mitzvah to light candles. As we're going to see in a moment, this is not specific to women. It's a mitzvah on every person. Every person has a mitzvah to light candles. Going into Shabbos, it's a mitzvah on the children, it's a mitzvah on the mother and the father. The assumption is that the mother is motzi, the whole family, but there's a mitzvah on every person to light candles. The basic reason is it's called Kavod Shabbos, which means that it's not nice to eat the meal in darkness. So you light the candles in order to make Shabbos more pleasant. The Mishnah Berurah writes that you're mekayim a mitzvah not only when you light Shabbos candles in the dining room, you're mekayim a mitzvah if you light the bathroom light in order to have light in the bathroom. Because the purpose of the mitzvah is in order for Shabbos to be more pleasant. We personally light, we make a bracha on the light that's done in the dining room because that way it's also for the Suda. But really, the purpose of the mitzvah is to have Kavod Shabbos so that the Shabbos, that there's light in the rooms where there needs to be light and no light in the rooms that there doesn't need to be light. But that's the mitzvah. It's a rabbinic mitzvah. Okay. So how many candles? We're just going to dive. I have about 8 or 9 topics. Just the first one is how many candles? So technically, only one. You only have to do one. We just started. Technically, that's perfect. So technically, the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros is one. But writes the Gemara, from the times of the Gemara already, there was a mitzvah to do two, Zachar v'Shamar, one keneged Zachar and one keneged Shamar. So technically, according to the Gemara, two is enough, that's it. Now, many women had different minhagim. I've already, from talking to different people, some... I think the common custom is to add one per child that they have. I know some people have that the first child is one, and then the second child is two, and then there's back to one, and then the three, I don't know. But the older customs is to do one per child. Again, do whatever you want. Once it's above two, it's just minhagim, it doesn't really matter. What's the reason behind doing one per child? So the Mishnah Berurah already says, the Gemara tells us that if a woman is machbid on Hadlakas Neiros, it's a skula to have Banim Talmid Chachamim, to have good children that are going to be Talmid Chachamim. So it makes sense that when you have a child, you want to, so to speak, say, I don't want just one, I want another one. So you, so to speak, okay, another, like, to be Maisif are... But again, the Iker Mitzvah is really two, Zachar and Shamar. That's why the Paiskim say that if a woman normally lights five, let's say, but she's eating out for Shabbos and she's a guest, you only have to do two. But really, so really it's two, but there are different customs. You follow your common custom, it doesn't really... All these things are just minhagim. Whatever you want to do, it's probably fun. Now, who has to light? So I mentioned, there's technically a mitzvah on every person. So why is it that women light? Meaning if a husband wants to light, halachically, the woman is supposed to light. Why is that so? So there's the classic reason which the Shulchan Aruch gives, which is that women are home on Fridays more so. I don't know if that's true anymore. But there's a much more... palatable pshat, which is that I think it makes you feel a little better. And that's a very fascinating thing. We know that the Eitz Hadas, the chet of Adam and Chava, right, the original sin was really Chava, because she was the one who pushed Adam to do it. So now you have to understand that before, and that happened on Friday. So you have to understand that before that sin was done, they were living in a situation where there was no death. Right? When Adam and Chava were created, there was no death. There was just light, so to speak. When she did that sin, all of a sudden, death came to the world, right? Misa niknas al olam. There was Misa that came down to the world, so to speak. The light of creation was diminished. So because she extinguished the light of creation, she, bedafka, should light it as a tikkun for that. And that's why it's done on Friday, because that's when the original sin happened. This is just a point that I think I must have seen it somewhere, because it's too cute for me to have thought of.
No, that part I knew.
The following part, it must be in a sefer because it's too clever for me to have thought of. The Paiskim say that that there's a special concept that the husband should set the candles, do something of the Hadlakas Neiros. So like the Chazon Ish says, many husbands put the candles in the candle holders. Other people, I think my grandfather used to do this, they light the candles and blow it out so that the wick, you know, once it's singed, it lights easier. So what's the pshat? Why is that such a concept that the husband should participate? So you'll say, okay, well, because the wife is being motzi the husband, so he should partake in it. But that's very strange. We don't find that The husband is motzi everyone by kiddush. There's no sefer that says that the children should bring the kiddush cup to the table. Like, what's the pshat that the husband should participate in somewhat? So it could be the reason why she lights is to fix the sin of bringing death to the world by the original sin. But if you go through history, there was one other time where there was no death in the world. Right before Adam and Chava sinned, there was no death in the world. Chava, her fault. Fine, women's fault. But there was a second time where there was death brought to the world, and that's when we got Matan Torah, when we got the Torah at Har Sinai, the world was reversed to a situation of Adam and Chava before the sin. There was no death at that point. Says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Vav, the reason why death was brought back to the world is because of the Chet of the Egel. Now, the Chet of the Egel was man's fault. The women did not want to participate in that. So I feel like maybe that has to do with that. They brought death into the world the first time, so they light the candles. We brought death into the world the second time, so we set the candles up. I don't know, to me it sounds too cute for me to have thought of. I'm sure I saw it in a sefer, I couldn't find it, but I'm sure it's there. So that's the pshat why we set up the candles. Just as a side point, the reason why women light is, again, to fix the chet of the Eitz Hadas. There's two other things in Hilchos Shabbos that have to do with fixing the Eitz Hadas. Just as a side point, it's very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch brings down in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos that there's a common custom that if women can do this, it's a nice thing. Obviously, if you can't, don't push yourself. But if you could, instead of going to a bakery, if women can bake challah on Fridays, it's a nice thing to do. L'kavod Shabbos. Why? So writes the Rama, that way they could separate challah. And it's a nice thing to separate challah on Fridays. It's better than going to the bakery. The Bir Halacha even was very upset about the fact that women started going to bakeries. They should bake 5 pounds of challah and separate challah. Again, if they can, depending on the situation.
Why on a Friday? Why not on like a Wednesday?
Oh, so what's the pshat? So writes the Mishnah Berurah, I'll tell you why. Again, Chava, by creating the sin, changed the whole world. So he says like this. What's challah? Challah is you have dough that you want to eat. So what do? You separate the best part of the challah, the first piece of the challah, before you eat it, you give it to Hashem. You give it to a Kayan. Okay, now we don't give it to a Kayan, but you separate it for Hashem. Adam, the Zohar writes, was the challah of creation because he was the first special thing. By Chava sinning, she ruined the challah of creation. So as a tikkun for that, every Friday on that same day where the sin happened, women separate challah in order to elevate and sort of rectify the challah of creation. Okay, there's one more thing, which is interesting. It's the opposite, which women don't do because of the Eitz Hadas on Shabbos. And that's, we once had this, I'm sure my father remembers, again, if there's any question, let me know. But until now, I think it's pretty straightforward. We once had this on a Shabbos table where there was a younger Sephardi woman who my father was giving out grape juice, and she said she doesn't want to drink the grape juice because she doesn't want to get a beard. So, okay, I was a little bit taken aback. I'm like, I'm not 100% sure what that means. She said, my grandmother told me if I drink the grape juice, I'll get a beard. So I remember there were doctors at the table. And I was like, the doctors, there's no correlation. I even asked the doctor, I said, please tell her there's no way she'll get a beard from drinking grape juice. She responded to the doctor, it's my face and I'm not going to take the risk. But so what's up, Shah? Where's that coming from? First of all, it's nothing. It's made up. But how did something even made up come to be? So there's an inyan to drink the grape juice. It's koshal bracha, of course. It has to do with the fact that there's a minig for the last, about 1,000 years at least, for women not to drink Havdalah. Not to drink the wine of Havdalah. So I believe the way to stop women from drinking Havdalah is the grandmother just told her you'll get a beard and that was enough. So what's the pshat? Why do women not drink Havdalah? So writes the Shlach HaKadosh, it's brought down by the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Vilna Gaon, the Eitz Hadas was wine. It was grapes that were crushed into wine. It was wine. So writes the Shlach, the only reason why there's a weekday, right? The only reason why there's back to Chol and there's the lowering of Kedusha from Shabbos to weekday, there's Havdalah, is because of Chava's sin, which was through wine. Therefore, writes the Shlach, as a punishment, women don't get to drink the Havdalah. Which is interesting, it's the opposite. You think that women would want to elevate, but this is the one thing that women don't drink. Again, it has to do with the sin of Eitz Hadas. Okay, just a couple things have to do with Eitz Hadas. I don't know the connection between them, but I just thought that was an interesting thing. Okay, going back, so that's the pshat why women light the candles. Okay. Just as a side point, by the way, Chabad women light candles. One of the institutions of this past Rebbe was that Chabad single girls light candles also. That was one of his big things, that single girls should also light candles. But just as a side point, interestingly enough, he decided that single girls should only light one candle. What was the pshat? So the pshat was, it's a sensitivity on the Rebbe's part. he felt that candles is obviously one of the things that married women do. And they get two candles and they light it, and it's obviously very important to them. So if all of a sudden the Rebbe start instituting that every single girl would light two candles, so you'll have a woman who's married and you have a little five-year-old girl also lighting, it sort of might take away, so to speak. So the Rebbe started one candle to sort of show chashivas. Now this, there are two major areas that are distinctions between Svardim and Ashkenazim. And what I'm going to say, I've told this to Svardim who know a lot of halacha, and for some reason they hadn't heard of this. Svardim would have a problem with this, and the Rav Avadia Yosef himself wrote that he did not like this institution. There's one major chumrah that Svardim have over Ashkenazim when it comes to lighting candles, and that is Svardim do not light, make a bracha when two women light candles in the same room. It's brought down by the Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down by Rav Avadia. I don't know why many Svardim don't keep this, but if you have a woman, a woman and her daughter-in-law are staying in the house. So what happens? They all light in the same corner, right? So Ashkenazim feel that you're allowed to make a bracha, even though there's already candles lit. So there's already five candles lit. So another woman comes, adds two candles. So you'll argue, what is the two candles really doing if there's already five? So it's called Tosefes Ar. Okay, it still adds something. Ashkenazim feel that you can make a bracha on Tosefes Ar. Svardim feel that you cannot. So the concept of having every daughter lighting with a bracha next to their mothers is not appropriate according to Svardim. But that just as a side point, I think it's very important for Svardim to know. I don't know why people don't keep this. If they're lighting, later on, one of the major shilas that I get asked a lot is, if you're eating in one place and sleeping in another, where should you light? So we'll get to that in a minute. But if you're Svardi, you can't light where you're eating because you're going to have two women lighting in the same dining room. And they do not do that. So that just as a side point, again, I don't know why Svardim don't keep this a lot of times. I've known Svardim that do make, that they say, my mother lights with a bracha and her daughter-in-law lights with a bracha. It's not appropriate according to Svardim, and it's something that definitely should not be done. Again, you ask a shayla, but Rav Avadia Yosef, I checked it right before I came here, Rav Avadia Yosef clearly states it's a problem for Svardim. Okay, let's go moving right along. One more thing. This is an interesting opinion of Rav Scheinberg. So you learn these halachas, and there's a pretty big problem that I've noticed that, again, some single guys and girls are good with, sometimes not. The halacha really is that every house has to have candles. So therefore, if you're a single guy living in your own apartment, you have to light candles. It's not like, well, a woman light candles. No, single guys also have to. There has to be candles lit. If you don't have a wife or a mother lighting, then the single guy should light. A lot of times, single guys don't do that. I don't know why, it's not appropriate, but I will mention one opinion of Rav Scheinberg. That Rav Scheinberg maybe gave like a little bit of a heter, a little bit of a pesach as to... By the way, if you want to turn on the air conditioner, should we turn it? You want to turn on the air conditioner? If you guys want, do you mind if we turn on that air conditioner over there?
I put on all air conditioners. Yeah, air conditioning is God's gift.
Okay. It's going to get too cold. Dad, give me... No. Dad, give me a clicker. Give me a clicker. Give me a clicker. No, give me a clicker. Dad, give me a clicker. I'm like, no, keep it on. I'm going to keep it because you're going to... It's going to be freezing. So Rav Scheinberg said a very interesting heter. We know that every single Shabbos, right, the wife lights, the husband doesn't light, the children don't light. So what's the pshat? How does that work? The wife is being motzi, her family. Even if she's not thinking about it consciously, it's subconscious, the wife is motzi, the family. There's an opinion of Rav Scheinberg, which I think is very interesting, and I think it's a limud zchus. If you're a single guy or a single girl living in an apartment and you're eating out Friday night, you should light in your apartment because you're like anyone else, you should light in your apartment. Rav Scheinberg said that he feels that a woman, even if she's not aware of this, is motzi everyone who's eating by her on Friday night, because if you're a guest on Friday night by someone's house, you're considered like the bnei bias. So it's just something to consider. Again, I think it's a bit of a chiddush, but it's possible that if you have a single guy, if I'm eating out, then I'm eating out by someone's house, even if she's not aware of it, she's motzi everyone in the house on Friday night, even if they're not related, they're considered bnei bias. Okay, just an interesting concept. Okay, we're moving right along.
We used to light. I was in Torah, where we used to light.
You should light. No, you definitely should. But it's like a limud zchus. If someone doesn't, okay, they technically have what to rely on. Again, if there's any questions, you let me know. I think it's been pretty clear-cut. The Shulchan Aruch writes, this is something, it's the Ramah. As far as I'm not as makiv about this, but I think they should definitely keep to it if they can. And that's very clear for Ashkenazim. If a woman does not light, there's a punishment. There's a knas. And if a woman does not light, and normally she lights two candles, and let's say one Shabbos she forgets to light. She's in the shower, she completely forgets, she comes out, she's like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot to light. Then the halacha is, from then on, for the rest of her life, she has to light three.
What if she had dinner somewhere else?
So, I mean, technically, the other woman is makbid, but I she would have to light, I think. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, because technically, if a single person eats at someone's house, as I just said, the wife can be motzi, but the custom amongst married women is to not be yotza. That's why if you have, as we'll see later on, hotels, you have 100 women, why are there so many candles? Why doesn't one woman just be motzi everybody? The answer is married women don't want to be yotza. So the problem is, if a married woman doesn't want to be yotza, so one can argue she was not yotza, even if she wasn't aware of it, and if she's not yotza and she didn't light, we should punish her by having an extra candle. Again, that's one can argue, you have to ask a rav. Now, this is a very important caveat to that. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if a woman didn't light, but not because of an accident, it was again, it was an ones, as they say, meaning she's sick in the hospital, or she's sick in bed, she's not feeling well, she's stuck on the road, she does not have to add another candle. Not every woman has to add another candle. You only have to add another candle as a punishment because you did not, it's a knas, you did not do your job, you completely forgot about the clock, for the rest of your life you have to add another candle. But if you have a woman who didn't light because of an ones, it was against her will, there's no reason to punish such a person. So therefore, if she doesn't light, again, if she doesn't light because of an ones, we do not punish her, and she does not have to add another candle. Now, here's where you have to ask a rav. The problem is, there are extra chairs like right behind. Sorry. Here's where you have to ask a rav. You have to ask a rav the following. A lot of times, it's very hard to ascertain whether someone forgot because of a shogeg or because of an ones. A lot of times, it's very hard. Let's say you have a woman who took a nap 5 o'clock when Shabbos is 6:30. And she sleeps, she oversleeps, misses candlelight. So is that an ones because she was sleeping? Or do we say, you know what, maybe you shouldn't have taken a nap without setting an alarm? And that's why it's very difficult to know. You have to ask a rav, and basically the rav is just going to wing it, so to speak. He's just going to hear the situation and just tell you whether he feels it's an ones or feel that it's a shogeg. It's very hard to know. But again, just to summarize the halacha, if a woman does not light and it's her fault, she has to add a candle for the rest of her whatever, keep it going. And if she didn't light, but again, it wasn't her fault, it was an ones, or she was stuck on the road, or she was sick, does not have to get that. So that's why you have to ask a rav to basically figure out is it her fault or is it not? You have to ask a rav.
Is that scenario only for a woman? In a situation
so the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasen asked that question. I mean, what if you have a single guy who's lighting and he forgot? Does that mean that he has to light? Or what if you have a case where the woman is running late and she tells her husband, just light for me, and he forgets? Does that? It's very hard to know. I think it's very very likely that we do not punish men because men lighting is so rare that it's not a man thing. It's just men lighting is so rare. It wouldn't make sense that Chazal would have taken the time to punish a man. A similar question is, what if a woman forgot to, this, someone came over to me, a woman forgot to light candles on Yom Tov. So now, what is it? We punish her that she has to add another candle on only Yom Tov, or maybe every Shabbos? So again, some poskim say that one can argue that lighting Yom Tov candles is so infrequent that Chazal wouldn't punish. The point is, Chazal took the time to punish. It makes more sense that they punished in the more frequent case. Again, you have to ask a rav. I think for a man, is definitely makom to be lenient. But again, that's If she doesn't light, it's her fault. She adds a candle. If not, not. So it's not every situation. You were saying? You got it? Okay.
What happens if you light and then it goes out?
So if you light it, you're supposed to light it. That's the problem. I mean, the problem is that you... it's a bit of a problem. It's a bit of a problem because the problem is that we paskin that women accept Shabbos by the lighting. You're supposed to get a guy to do it or get a family member to do it. I'm going to say there's an Eitzah that I think every woman should do in general, or every man should do, whoever's lighting, that I think solves many problems. And this is something Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky used to do and Moshe Feinstein would do. And that is, let's say she's lighting three candles. I'll get to this now, because there's a shiloh. First of all, most paiskim feel that a woman should not make a bracha. I'll get back to what I'm saying. Most paiskim feel that a woman should not make a bracha if she's lighting electric lights. A lot of times if you're in the hospital, they give you electric lights. Most paiskim feel you do not make a bracha on electric lights. Enough paiskim that I would not feel comfortable. I'm not going to say most, but you have Ramosha Feinstein, and you have, amongst others, said not to make a bracha. I would not make a bracha. But there's... Yeah, you'll light it, and you're yotze, but I wouldn't make a bracha because there's too many poskim that feel that it's not considered a ner. It's enough that you'll be yotze, but not enough to make a bracha. But there's a glaring issue that the Kloisenberger Rebbe talks about, Avad Yosef talks about. I even saw just now that Rav Asher Weiss in his newest sefer talks about this. And that is, how exactly are we making a bracha when there's lights on in the room? Whatever it used to be, right, the purpose of lighting candles is because it adds light, it makes the meal more pleasurable, it makes everything more enjoyable when you're lighting by candlelight. Now, the lights that give off through the candles are almost insignificant. They're insignificant compared to electric lights. So how are we allowed to make a bracha? So, I'm just going to turn this off for 2 minutes. I'll go back and forth. So, that's freezing. So, the Kloisenberger Rebbe says the Kloisenberger Rebbe says the following. He says the reason why we're able to make a bracha, and this will get back to the Eitzah of Rav Moshe. I have to remind myself. The reason why the Kloisenberger Rebbe says we should make a bracha nowadays, even though there's electric lights and the little candles that we're doing are almost nothing, because he says like this. Imagine I were to say tonight, and you actually listen to me. Imagine I said, with the electric lights, you don't have to light candles anymore. All the women, no more candles. You wouldn't listen, right? You wouldn't do that. If you had a meal where there was no candles, it would bother you. Meaning, there's an emotional, there's a feeling of Kavod Shabbos from the candles themselves, independent of the light that's given off. Even though it might have started that it was the Kavod Shabbos was the light, but now because it's part of the mitzvah and part of the tradition of Shabbos, the candles themselves are Kavod Shabbos. So says the Kleisenberger, the reason why you're able to make a bracha on the candles, it's not that the candles give off light anymore. That doesn't matter. It's the fact that you're honoring the table by having the traditional Shabbos. When I say traditional, I mean according to halacha, the halachic Shabbos experience, which includes candles. But that's why we make bracha nowadays. I'm not going to question it. Chas v'shalom. It's the right thing to do. Even with electric lights, it's fine. But there's an Eitzah from Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov, which I think solves many, many problems. And that is the following. When a woman is lighting candles, let's say she's lighting 3 candles, she turns off the electric lights and turns them on, having in mind that the lights on the electric lights are part of the Shabbos candles, then lights the candles, and then makes a bracha. Meaning, what you're doing is you're taking the electric lights and you're making them part of the Shabbos candles. So instead of 3 candles, you light 3 candles and the lights. Now, the reason why what that does, in back to your case, where if the lights go out, you solve the problem because the lights didn't go out. Because as long as you have the electric lights on, some of the Shabbos candles are still in existence. It solves many problems. I'm going to get to another problem that it says it solves a lot of problems. It's something that Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov, that was the male participation. I mentioned before that the men should participate in the Shabbos candles somehow. So some people put the candles in the holders. Some men light the candles and blow it out so that the wick is singed. Or Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov, they would be the ones to turn on the lights. Again, it doesn't really work if you maybe should be at shul at that time. Their wives obviously lit early. But the point is, that's what they would do. There's such a concept of turning on and off the electric lights. You understand what I mean? Meaning it makes the lights on in your dining room part of the Shabbos candles. And it's a very smart thing to do. Because that way you don't have your problem of the lights going out. Because unless the fuse blows, the lights are not going to go out. So I think that's a good idea. If the lights do go out, it could be a problem. But that's the best way to avoid it. You had a question?
Yeah, so why can't we always, have the backup to the, in case of emergency, that if you forget to light, why can't the lights, the electric lights that are already on,
be so careful? So there was this...
Meaning
you should never punish a woman by not lighting because there are lights in the room.
Right.
So there was a sefer that theorized that.
You could make it like a condition.
There was a sefer that theorized that, but the argument against that is the reason why they punish a woman who doesn't light is because we want her to not forget. The fact that there are electric lights, it doesn't change the fact that she forgot. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like it's like a happy coincidence. But from her perspective, she did not light. She did not do the hadlaka of candles. Do you know what I mean? The fact that there are electric lights on, it means that, yes, it's not going to be a dark meal. But this woman did not, she forgot. So because she forgot, we should, you know what I mean? It's like the equivalent of some guy knocks on the door, she forgets to light Shabbos candles. Somebody knocks on the door and says, here are two candles, and puts them down. She still forgot. She lucked out, but you should still punish her because she did not do her responsibilities of halakhas neiris. That's what I would argue to that. But it's a discussion. I have a sefer called Halakhas Neiris Kehilchos. He talks about this. I think that there's strong makom to say that if the woman did not light, even if there are electric lights on, she still did not light.
I mean, like, you have the same thing. Like, it was the Erev. You could rely on the rabbi's Erev, whatever. The Erev Tashilin or something like that. They always have...
Yeah, but only once. But the point is, the problem is you're getting into the mindset, the Chachamim specifically gave a knas. It's a rare thing for the Chachamim to give a penalty for not doing this. It's a rare thing. So it's hard to get exactly in their mindset. My point is that the fact that the electric lights are on, it doesn't change the fact that she didn't light. That she didn't do the job. So I can argue that there should be a punishment. There should be a penalty. Again, that's just the point. But again, I think that if you put on and off the electric light, it solves many, many problems. Okay.
Can that be the extra light if somebody forgot?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's a smart thing to do. That's a good point also. If you don't want to, like, get an extra candles. Yeah, that could be the extra light for sure. Yeah, that's a good point also. Okay. Now, again, if there's no questions, I'm going to move right along.
Each light bulb?
Huh?
Each light bulb?
No.
One switch.
Yeah. No, one switch. I think one switch. Yeah, I don't think we're going to go that far. Okay. Now, here is the next part is the other distinction between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. It's the only other distinction. So the first one was, just a reminder, Sfaradim do not make a bracha if there are other candles lit in the room. Do not. Ashkenazim do. This is the second distinction between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, and that is how to light the candles. I'm not Chas V'Shalom. Women do a lot of things, and it's great. But there's one thing that I think people don't understand what they're doing. And that's when they do the whole this thing by the eyes, I don't think people understand exactly why they're doing what they're doing. And I think once you understand it, I think it should be done differently. What's the pshat? Why do women do this? Where is this coming from? So you could just say, well, it's like Shema. You cover your eyes to have concentration. Okay, all right, I don't know. But what's the pshat? Why do women do this? They cover the eyes with the whole thing. So here's the deal. Normally, when a person does an action, you do it. It's called over lasiyasin. You make the bracha and then you do it. Shahakal, you drink. Laniach tefillin, then you put on tefillin. That's the way it should be. You do the action and then you light. That's what it should be. You should make the bracha and then light the candles. And that's what Sfaradim do. That's what Ravad Yosef feels very strongly that that's what Sfaradim do. Ashkenazim don't do that. Why? Because Ashkenazim have a problem. We feel that women are mekabel Shabbos with the bracha. Or with the lighting. So the problem is, if a woman says the bracha and then lights the candles, so once she says the bracha, it's already Shabbos. Now she's stuck. She can't light anymore. Sfaradim don't feel this way. Sfaradim feel that you should light, make the bracha and then light, like any other mitzvah. And Rav Avadia actually says, he says strongly enough that if an Ashkenazi wants to change her custom to be like the Sfaradim, she's allowed to, because the Sfaradim are 100% correct in this one, and Ashkenazim are mistaken. So he feels very strongly about this, but we're not going to... Don't do that. Follow your Messiah. Huh?
You
light, and you do like Ashkenazim? Okay, Rav Avadia, again, Rav Avadia feels very strongly that that's how Sfaradim should do. If you do otherwise, listen, if you do like Ashkenazim, I think that's great.
Her mother did it.
Again, I'm not, I can't tell you what Sfaradim actually do. I can just tell you what Rav Avadia says they should do. So Rav Avadia says that they light, and they make a bracha, and then they light. Ashkenazim don't do that because we feel that when you make the bracha, it's already Shabbos. So what do? You light, and then you make the bracha. The problem is, how could you make the bracha after the action? So there's such a heter, which is that if the action is still somewhat going on, all right, we have a similar problem with Netilas Yadayim. You should make the bracha and then wash your hands. But that's not what we do for bread. Why is that not what we do? Because your hands are dirty. How could you make a bracha with your hands are dirty? So what do? We wash our hands, but then we make the bracha. But wait, it's too late. So what we do is, If your hands are still wet, it's part of it. So you make, you wash your hands, the hands, you make the bracha, and then you dry it. So the bracha is before the drying, it's something. So what is the bracha before by the candles? So says the Ramah, you light the candles, don't get hana from the candles. Close your eyes, don't look at the candles. Make the bracha and then look at the candles. So the bracha is before the hana, the pleasure of looking at the candles. So the reason why they close their eyes, it's not to bring the light close. It's the opposite. It's to push the light away. So you light, close your eyes, don't look at them, make the bracha, and then open them. That's the pshat. I don't know if I'm being clear, but that's how Ashkenazim do it. I don't believe it's bringing close. I don't think there's a thing of that. I think it's the opposite. The Ramah writes you're supposed to not get hana. So you light, don't get hana, and then make the bracha. Again, the reason why we can't do the Sephardi way of just bracha and lighting is because we feel that we're mekabel Shabbos with the bracha.
So what would be the point of turning off the lights, like, in the room? If it's also you're not getting hana, then you could be also making the bracha on the lights.
Meaning that you're saying that you can't not get hana from the lights above the room?
Meaning you said that there's a reason to turn off the lights so that way it doesn't, it's not, you know, combining with the light of the candle. So if you're closing your eyes anyway...
No, you turn it off, and then you turn it on for the sake of Shabbos so that the electric lights are part of the Shabbos candles. Yeah, you're right. It would cause a little bit of problem to not get too much hana. Okay, I don't know. It doesn't solve everything. It solves some things. But that's... You're right. But the point is, that's what Ashkenazim do. We close our eyes to not enjoy the candles. You make the bracha, and then you enjoy it. So then the bracha is before the enjoyment. Now, there's two points to this. And that is... I remember when I was in ninth grade, my father was away for Shabbos, my family was away for Shabbos, it was just me and a couple friends, so I had to light. I didn't know what I was doing. I did exactly like my mother did. I lit the candles, did the thing with the eyes, made the bracha, and then I found that afterwards, I probably shouldn't have done that. Why? The reason why we can't do it the normal way is because women are mekabel Shabbos with the lighting. Men are not mekabel Shabbos with lighting. Even if a man lights the candles... Men are mekabel Shabbos later on in shul. That's clear. So therefore, a man should... He's not mekabel Shabbos with the bracha anyway. So a man should light candles the normal way. Similarly, women on Yom Tov should light candles like the Sephardim. Meaning Ashkenazim on Yom Tov should light candles by making a bracha and then lighting. Why? Because what's the problem? When I make the bracha, oh, it's already Yom Tov. You could light candles on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is the one time a year you could light candles. The issue on Yom Tov is you can't extinguish... And you can't create a fire. You could take a fire and light candles on Yom Tov. So therefore, even if you're mekabel Shabbos with the bracha on Yom Tov, it doesn't affect anything. You could still do it. So therefore, men and Yom Tov, women, should light candles like the Sephardim, which is bracha and then light. Everyone good with that?
Yeah, but what about Shabbos
and
Yom Tov?
No, so Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Keep Shabbos
and Yom Tov. That's why, by the way, the Magen Avraham, just to make the point, Magen Avraham felt that even on Yom Tov, Ashkenazim should light the way they do normally as to not confuse everybody. But the accepted Pesach, I believe the Mishnah Berurah says, is you could try to, it's not too confusing, which is Shabbos you do one way, but Yom Tov a different way. You're right, Shabbos, Yom Tov, don't do it. I don't know if I'm being clear, but that's, I'm trying to be clear. Okay. The last topic I'd like to talk about, and then we'll stop. Actually, if everyone stays, we might have a minute. Okay, the last topic that I like to talk about is where to light when you're eating in one place and sleeping in the other. So to be honest with you, the Pais can really say either one is fine. But Ramosha felt it's better to light... Each one has a maila and a chisara. Ramosha felt that it's better to light where you sleep. Meaning... If you're sleeping in your apartment, but you're eating at a couple's house, light where you sleep. That's where Moshe said is better. But there's a slight problem to that. The problem is, if you light the candles, the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you light the candles and then you leave, and then you go eat in the balcony, and by the time you come back, the candles are out, it's a bracha levatala. The purpose of the candles is for you to enjoy the meal by. If you made the bracha, light the candles, and then don't eat there, it's a bracha levatala. So therefore, if you're going to light where you are sleeping, that's fine, but the candles have to be long enough that by the time you come home from the meal, it's still lit, and you sit by the candles and eat something. That's what you'd have to do. That's why I think it's pretty clever, if you do the electric lights thing, they're still going. I think that's a pretty good idea. Okay, so therefore, if you want to light where you sleep, that's great. But again, it has to be that you have candles long enough that they will still be going when you get back. Let's say you think, I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know if I have candles that long. I don't want to be rushed. I'd rather just eat my meal. Then light where you're eating. That's fine. But that doesn't work for Svardim. Because again, Svardim cannot light two in the same room. So therefore, for Svardim, they should light where they're sleeping. If an Ashkenazi wants to light when they're eating, that's fine. If you want to... Oh, there's one problem with lighting where you're eating. Sorry, this is the problem. If you light where you're eating... No, this is good. If you light where you're sleeping, there's one problem. What's the problem with lighting where you're sleeping? Also, in addition to having candles too long, you're mekabel Shabbos with the lighting. So you can't drive to where you're eating. A lot of times women will, anyone, will want to light at their house, but if they're eating all the way across the neighborhood, they'll just, I'll get in the car and I'll drive. You can't do that because you're mekabel Shabbos with the candles, so that's off the board. Again, it's better to light where you sleep. Yeah, but in a case of extenuating circumstance, a woman could still drive after she lit, but going to someone's house is not enough.
Can you say I'm not accepting Shabbat?
Again, we paskin that a person can only do that for extreme circumstances. Case of a mitzvah. So this would not be a mitzvah. I'll tell you, my father remembers this. We used to stay in a hotel and then one in Israel at the plaza, and then we would light there and then go to the kotel. So Rav Shlomo Zalman held it's not a woman is not allowed to light with the stipulation I want to go to the kotel, because he said going to the kotel for a woman is not a mitzvah. They don't have to. So awesome. The Tzitz Eliezer happens to be chaylik. The Tzitz Eliezer happens to say it's okay. So we felt like Rav Shlomo Zalman, so we would walk. That's why we miss mincha every time. By the time we got there, it was already Shabbos over. But the point is, the point is for a woman to light and then stipulate, I'm not mekabel Shabbos, I want to drive. We only do that on case of a real mitzvah, and eating by someone's house on Friday night, I don't believe is enough. So you have to. So therefore, light where you're eating is fine if you're Ashkenazi, huh?
What would be enough?
The Mishnah Berurah writes talking about going to a chasana. That might be enough. They used to have chasanas like right onto Shabbos. This is the Lubavitcher Rebbe got married. Right, it's an old minhag of many rebbes to get married right before Shabbos. That the reason why is because they used to invite all the poor people of the community to the weddings. So the chashon was, if you get married right before Shabbos, you got your Friday night meal and your wedding, you help everybody out. But it's very rare to find a reason to drive in the car. I got to tell you, it's not something that we should do. So therefore, you light where you're sleeping, and that's fine. But then it's Shabbos, and you have to have candles that are lit long enough, or you turn on the lights. I'll end off with this. If there's any more, unless there's any questions, this is something that is a big problem. And I saw if Simcha Bunim Cohen says it's a problem. There's no Eitzah. What a lot of people do at hotels for events is a big problem halachically. The lighting has to be done either where you sleep or where you eat. If it's in a side room, it's a bracha levatala. There's no way to get out of it. If you're lighting in the side room like they do, they set up. They can't set up in the dining room because
we did it.
Were some people who took two candles and brought it to the dining room, but we did it because you don't have a choice. You set up this giant table in this hallway, and everyone lights there, and it's a bracha levatala because they're not sleeping and you're not eating. Now the reason why they do that is because you can't really set up in the dining room because it's too tight. You can't light in the bedroom because they won't allow it. So what I would do back then is I would turn on and off the electric lights in my room, have in mind, no bracha, have in mind it's Shabbos for the Shabbos candles, so I'm Yotza, but it's a big problem.
And then you turned it off.
Huh? No, meaning turned off the bathroom, yeah, or the lamp.
Would you then light downstairs?
Well, my mother, I'm not lighting, but
would you
I would, no, no, I'd rather not light. I'd rather not light because it's not Yotza. I will tell you what Rabbi Bergman did. I don't know if he, again, I don't know if he wants this, I don't know if he meant this to be publicized. I probably should have asked him. But I will say this. I was with Rabbi Bergman when this happened, and his wife lit like everyone else in that side room. I'm sitting eating the meal with him, and he says, excuse me. He takes his chicken and his kugel, and he takes the plate outside for about 10 minutes. And he comes back. So I said, well, where'd you, he said he wanted to eat by the candles. So what he did was, that's a smart, okay, that's something. He turned that candles. Technically, if you're there for Shabbos and you're using the candles and you're getting hanah, that should be enough. The Mishnah Berurah does add that you should eat there. So maybe just take some grapes, say something to get some hanah from the candles. But if you just light there and leave, it's pretty clear cut. It's a bracha levatala. I saw Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen. He addresses this and he says he has no idea why people do this. It's better. I'm sorry, yeah?
How can you get hanah? Because I go to a lot of places where the candles aren't where I eat.
So
light and then I eat in a different room.
So then, first of all, I would either take some food there or not light there. Just turn on the electric lights in your room.
Light where I'm sleeping, but I wouldn't be coming home in time to see them lit.
You'll come back.
Yeah. Wait, what?
You don't come back in time to see them lit. You light your room, you don't come back in time to see them lit.
You don't come back in time.
No, but if you put on electric lights, that's my point. If you put on electric lights, like the bathroom or a lamp.
So you don't accept shops yet? You could drive somewhere after you turn on an electric light?
Yeah, get the husband to do it. Get the husband to do it. If the husband, this is the tricky part, huh?
But could I make a bra?
No, I wouldn't make a bra. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. There's too many paiskim. Especially nowadays with everything fluorescent, you can't make a bracha anyway. I wouldn't make a bracha.
But just light.
Just a light, so you get the mitzvah covered, but no bracha. But that's the problem. It's a problem. Unless you eat there. Unless you bring... That's why there were always a couple people that, like, went rogue and took tea lights and put it, like, in the dining room.
But if
because
I bring the food to the other room, it's okay.
I think it's probably... Yeah, it's probably okay. I mean, I don't know if it's great, but it's something. Yeah, it's probably the best option. If you're going to light, that's definitely what you should do. Again, I don't know if you should light, but if you're going to...
Just like one spoonful of food.
Yeah, just to use the candles to get on. No, like anything else. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes. Just to eat by it. That's the Mishnah Berurah.
Can you eat by it? Can you read by it?
It's better to eat by it. Reading is also b'dieved. Yeah, you have if it's fine, but it's better to eat by it if you could.
That's also the scenario when you're coming back home.
Yeah, yeah. You should, when you come back home, if you're eating in one place and sleeping in another and you light where you sleep, you should come back. The Mishnah Berurah adds, the Berhetev says, get hana by the candles. The Mishnah Berurah adds, hana kisha oichel. Meaning the Mishnah Berurah adds something. Eat something. Take a little rugelach.
What if you stay and light your candles and stay down a little while?
Yeah, but the problem is they'd have to do it on Shabbos. And you can't eat. And usually by the time women leave, it's not fully Shabbos yet. It's been a shmushes. It's better, if you're going to do it, make sure the candles are lit long enough for you to get back. Or light where you're eating, which is also a fine option. I don't.
What's wrong with them?
Sorry, was that rough?
If you're in a big room like a hotel, if the candles are in the middle of the room, is that okay? Or because if you're like all in one room?
I know, it seems funny to me. Like they're like 300 yards away. I don't really know what that accomplishes. I think you have to go near it. I think because it's not a game. It's not like, well, it's in the room. It's not like there's any. It doesn't say in the Torah dining room. The point is to eat by it.
Which candles are yours?
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm being serious. That's why it's a bit of a problem. It's not the best situation. Again, I'm not saying Rav Simple Ben Kamsa. It is a bracha levatala if you don't go near it. If you go near it, Hashem, whatever you try. That's why you try to find the candles.
Should both eat by the candles.
No, I think one person should be enough. I don't think you don't need everybody. Yeah, one person. You don't need the whole mishpacha. Huh?
I
want to
send your fire.
What was that?
You can send your little kid to.
Yeah, he's just sitting there. You were saying?
What's the problem with benefiting from the candles? Right away.
Because the problem is the purpose of the mitzvah is to benefit on Shabbos.
Right, so
when you light, it's not Shabbos yet. It's Shabbos for you, but it's not real Shabbos. So that's the problem. It has to be after tzeis. Meaning, that's also part of the... First of all, but even let's say you're not eating, you're just reading. You light candles and then you read. You're still in the 18 minutes. It's not Shabbos yet. I mean, it's technically, it's Bein HaShmashas, but it's not to get Hana. You have to get Hana on Shabbos. And
you could say
no, but again, that doesn't make that makes it personal Shabbos. That doesn't make it Shabbos for the world. It needs to be Shabbos. It's not Shabbos. It has to be
after Shia. And my husband's in shul, right? But then he comes home.
True. That's why you're relying on the fact that you're not getting hana through food. It's something. I would add that if you're going to do that, yeah, read by it. Again, not too close, obviously, because then you have other issues. But near it, yeah. But the historical concept is to eat by it. That does help. But yeah, if you're not going to do it, that's also fine.
What's the deal with some people when they're making kiddush, they look at the candles?
That's just a kind of the Mishnah Berurah says to mistakel by the. I think Api Kabbalah is an Indian to mistakel by the Neris, but I don't know because also the whole point. That's the whole point. Because the point of the candles is to give Onik Shabbos by the meal. So when you're making kiddush, you look at them to start to connect the two. Okay, we'll stop here because no other questions. And
if you make early Shabbos.